Hallelujah. Ah, Shabba, your feet. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come before you. Father, have your way. Father, for I and we surrender it all to you. Father, for you to do, Father, according to your good pleasure. Father, we lay everything down at the cross. Father, hide me. Father, I decrease that you might increase within me. In the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, hallelujah, hasha, glory, somebody say glory, hallelujah, he's good, hallelujah, you may be seated in the presence of God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Before I get started, I want to welcome, because I just seen him. I want to welcome Jason back, Jason Morris. Jason, if you could, just stand up so everybody can see you. Hallelujah. Jason, we honor you today. We're so grateful for your decision and the work that God has done in you. Jason went to donate a kidney to his brother. And this is his first Sunday back. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Ah, man, I don't, it's so. See, today I want to tell you a story. A story that I've seen, because I'm to some I'm an old man, to others I'm a young man, but I've lived long enough to see and know that God is who he said he is. I'm 46 years old, and I have seen God's word just play out right before my eyes. My life is not exterior to the Word of God. It isn't. It's in it. This is what I want you to see, and Jesus, help me. This is what I want you to see and know, that your life as the redeemed of the Lord is not exterior to the Word of God. You'll find it in it. That's the only way you're going to find your life. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17. He said, Father, my desire, which means our Lord Jesus has a desire. Listen, he said, Lord, not as I would will, but your will be done. But in chapter 17 of John, you'll find that Jesus said that my desire is that they be where I am. I and you, you and me, and they and us. Your life isn't exterior to this. It's in it. Amen? See, now, and I want to, Sister Anita, our minister, mother, trailer, she brought it last week. Jesus, she brought it. She had Bill, the great illustration of a father and a son, come up here, Bill and Chris. And it's simply amazing. Her title last week was Obedience is Better Than Sacrifice. To obey the voice of the Lord is is the primary thing. To obey his voice is the primary thing. Sacrifice comes after that. No need even sacrificing anything to God if you're not obeying his voice. Because I'm sure, even though it's not recorded so much in the Bible, I'm sure that's what happened with Cain. I'm sure it was. Cain knew the voice of God. He heard the voice of God, and he brought a sacrifice that wasn't conducive to what the requirement of God was. And God rejected it. Why? Because that wasn't the sacrifice. And God will not accept a sacrifice that isn't in accordance to his word. He won't. You can search throughout the Bible, and you'll find that each and every time. To obey. To obey is better than sacrifice. And I'm going to go here real fast. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today, even though this isn't the norm, today I'm going to read this verse from the NLT. Amen? If you dare say amen, amen, we're going to go. Samuel replied, "What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice?" Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. Obedience is first. Obedience to his voice is first, and then the sacrifice. Because listen, truth be told, everyone sacrifices something. Everyone. This isn't just a Christianese thing or a church thing. Everyone sacrifices something. You're going to sacrifice your family for your job. Some do. I found it extraordinarily amazing years ago, I worked at a prison, a private prison, and during the training, they posed a question, and they said, would you accept a job that would pay you, I'm just going to throw a number out because of inflation, that will pay you $150,000 a year, but you're away from home 6 months or greater, sporadically, a total. Or would you accept a job that pays you about $50,000, but you're home every day? To me, it was a no-brainer. To me, that's like, I'm going to take the job that's less where I can be home. But can I tell you this? I was the minority. And everyone said that, like, listen, I'm going to do this so that I can take care of my family. But I argued and counter said, but what good is all that money if you're not home with your family? Listen, and they argued back. It was probably 25 of us in the class, and there's probably three of us who said that, no, I'm going to take the less and be home. Everyone sacrifices. Everyone, you will sacrifice something. Something. What are you going to sacrifice? And I'm here to tell you that unless you are obedient to the voice of God, whatever you sacrifice to God, it's best not even do it. It's best not even do it. Like when you hear the voice of God, and you can hear the voice of God many ways. Some will say that they've never heard the voice of God. And I'll bring you some illustrations I did in Bible study a couple of weeks ago. Because everyone hears. Everyone hears the voice of God. Everyone. Even the atheist hears the voice of God. Everyone. But a lot of times when something don't go right in life, I've sat there and I know there's a whole bunch of people out here the same. And something didn't go right, and so I'm a little upset within myself. Say I had someone back in the day when I was not as much a Christian. Nah, lukewarm don't work either. Let me put that out there. Lukewarm don't work. But when you're out and something ain't going right, and then you're mad, and something say you should slap them. Number one, that wasn't God. That wasn't God. That was the other voice. That was the enemy. But everyone has heard the voice of God, and everyone hears, because when you're sitting there and you're saying within yourself, I should, and some say, you should, and then you're nodding your head like, yeah, who are you talking to? Who are you talking to? Be careful with your talk, because most of this stuff is subconscious. You don't even realize you're doing it. But the enemy sees you. So while he's filling your mind, because the battle's always in your mind, the battle always is in your mind. But see, once you begin to lose the battle up here, it begins to seep down in your heart. And then once it gets there, you're going to have problems, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But the battle's always here. And when the enemy's speaking, see, I want you to see just as clearly as you will hear the voice of the enemy. That's just as clear as God speaks. But when you're not paying attention and the enemy says something you should do it and you're nodding your head, he sees he got you. So you know what he does? He goes get a bucket load or more junk to just pour in your brain, because the lid's open now, so now he just. And now you're beginning to not only be fixated on the one issue that's before you, now you're beginning to expand the issues and start pointing fingers outside of whatever the current issue is. Now you're beginning to point fingers at your mama and your father and your sister, your cousin. Why? Because the lid of your mind has been opened, and that circumstance that happened for a moment, you've allowed the enemy to just continue to pour. But God said, I won't leave you. So all the while that's happening, God said, don't do it. See, what happens in your mind seems to be loud and but God speaks to your heart, and he says, don't do it. Let me handle it. Let me speak for a second about when I first heard the voice of God. Because this is what I have identified through my walk and what I've seen in the Bible. See, when you first hear the voice of God, and when God begins to speak, and I don't care if it's in a dream or in prayer or prophetic word that you get, it's when you first hear the voice of God speaking, we become excited. Excited, we're ready, yes. And then we record it, we write it down. Nowadays, we put it in all kind of cloud storages so that we never lose what was prophesied or spoken. So mind you, if you would put those seven up, the first thing is we get so excited that God is about to do something. So excited. For some, it happened in our youth, and yes, God said it, I'm going to run with it. Number two, what happens? What God said seems to tarry. And because God may have forgot, we try to do it ourselves. And then when we do it ourselves, we go to number four. We mess it up. Every time. And because we did it instead of allowing God to do it, and we mess it up, we begin to complain to God. And then we try to bargain with God. Then God declares who he is, the promise keeper, the faithful one. And then we get to number seven, where the Bible tells us that there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel will prevail or will stand. Well, see, David understood these, I call them the seven stages to fruition from when God first spoke to you. David understood this because we find in Psalms chapter 27 and 13, David said, if I would have lost heart unless I believed. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. See, your wait is your faith. While you're waiting for God to do what he said that he was going to do, that's the testing and the trying of your faith. So don't give up, but I'll come back to that. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I would have lost heart. I would have lost heart. I would have lost heart, David said, unless I believed. See, if you take notes, see, the message title for today is that. The Voice, part four, and the subtitle is Believe. Believe. And I chose this picture because, and I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but you see all that roughness? But something's blossoming out of it. Believe. Believe. Why are we believing? What are we believing for? To see the goodness. To see the goodness of the Lord. To see the goodness of the Lord. See, I found it hard to show in small detail or even in great detail the goodness of our God. Only thing I can tell you is, like, I know he's good. Once again, I've walked with him long enough. I've talked with him long enough. I've been through enough storms. I've been through enough Hades in my life that I know that God is good. I've seen his hand move on my life. I've seen him do the impossible. I've seen the streams in the desert. I've been there. I've been to a place where there was no life. I say, God, if I have to die in this state, your will be done. And I've seen him do the miraculous in it and through it and bring me out. I know that God is God. I know that God is good. I know it. I wish I can explain it and to a greater degree that God is good. We say it all the time. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. This is what I want you to look at from now on. Don't look at your circumstance, because your circumstance is temporary. And your circumstance, if you look at it too long, is going to lie to you. He's going to tell you that God can't do it. Huh. I know that he can do it. I don't care what the circumstance is. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it is. Our God is able and our God is good. He's good. He's good, I tell you. We sing a song. He's a good, good father. I know he's good. He's such a good God. It says in Psalms chapter 34 and 8, he says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." In Psalms 145 and 9, "The Lord is good all the time, and his tender mercies are over all his works." His tender mercies are over all his works. Works from the beginning of creation, everything that God put his hands to, when he finished, he looked back and said, "It is good." Gotcha. Listen, don't let the enemy lie to you. Don't let him tell you that you're something you're not. If he's calling you something that your Father in heaven didn't call you, then that's a lie. Don't hold on to that thing, because that thing leads to death. You got to release it. My Father didn't tell me that. My Father didn't call me that. God is good. Everything that he put his hands to, his tender mercies are over all his works. In Philippians 1 and 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He said his hands are on, his tender mercies are over all his works. And guess what part of his works are? You. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work. a good work in you. In you. Once again, I'm going to speak against the enemy. I come against him by the blood of Jesus Christ. What did God call you? What did he call you? The Bible says, woe to him who called good evil and evil good. So I'm going to smack the baby. I'm going to call the baby by his name. I ain't going to smack the baby. I'm a police officer. Somebody going to call. What did he call you? Glenn, what did he call you? He says you're highly favored. He called you a man first. But he called you a woman. He called you a woman. My man Wes called you a man. Gird yourself. Don't care what the circumstance is. Speak what your father says. If it ain't here yet, speak it. He says speak those things. Don't speak the circumstance, because so long as you speak the circumstance persists. Speak the word of God. If you don't see it in the natural, then keep speaking till you see the very thing to which you're speaking. Don't allow the enemy to change what God has established in the earth. Believe that we might see the goodness. Psalms 23 and 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Don't forget this. To dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because that's where I want to be. That's where I desire to be. Goodness, all wrapped up in one word, is Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If you want that, if you believe that, you want that, then somebody give God a little praise in here. Everlasting life. David said, I would have lost heart. I would have lost heart. I would have lost heart. Come here, Mari. I would have lost heart. I'm going to give you one small example. This is my son. Now, I've told this, but there's a number of people here who don't know. My son, when my wife was in labor, she was having all kinds of problems. And I was praying. And I remember I was at the hospital in the maternity suite. It was a pretty nice bathroom, actually, because it had like a little foyer to the bathroom before you get to where you do your business at. And it was a big mirror there, and I was praying to God. And I was saying, don't take my son or my wife. But everything was speaking, all the circumstances were speaking against my prayer. Truth be told, the circumstances seemed to be speaking louder than my prayer. And I heard the voice of God. I heard the voice of God in that moment. And God said, do you believe that I am able? I said, yes. I would have lost heart less I believe. I was, before the prayer, I was losing something. Something was seeping out of me. And I was like, so I had to go to God in prayer to God. I want my son. And after he spoke to me, do you believe? I said, yes. I went out and labor continued. I don't know how long, but when my son was born, glory to God, he was dead. This dude. see here, I want you to see this, and I'm going to bring another illustration in the Bible. Because I heard God's voice those many years ago. I heard him speak to me. He said, "Do you believe?" I said, "Yes, Lord, I believe." In spite of the circumstance that my wife was going through, I said, "Lord, I believe. I believe." And when he was born, he was dead. They grabbed him and rushed him over to the one corner of the room, and they picked up some phone, called down and said, "We got a baby here. It's not breathing and doesn't have a heartbeat." My heart sank. And I considered what I had prayed. And I said within myself, I said that this can't be happening. Not what I just heard, God. Now, that's pretty much all I said. I said, this can't be happening. Not when I just heard God say, "I am able." And so I'm standing there, and I thought my wife heard. She didn't hear, because she heard. She started shaking. So I thought she started shaking because she heard what they were saying. And so I'm like, this can't be happening. Can't be. And then they're over there working, stuff flying everywhere. And then they picked up the phone again and said, "Okay, we have a heartbeat, but he's still not breathing." I rejoiced at that very word. Thank you, Maya. I rejoiced at that. See, the enemy would have had me think that, like, listen, he still ain't breathing. No, I said he has a heartbeat. If he has a heartbeat, then there's life. I'm not a doctor or a nurse. I know we have some here, but I was thinking we could pump air in him. That's what I thought. To see the goodness, I would have lost heart. God is good. My son is 20 years old. He'll be 21 in a couple months. And excelling against the circumstance that was right at his birth. Why? Because I believe. Once again, my biggest thing when concerning the voice and these seven steps to fruition is, listen, don't concentrate on the circumstance, because once again, if you stare at it too long, it's going to begin to lie to you. David said, "I would have lost heart unless I believed to see the goodness." But what is the goodness of God? And I know I just said it, but this was part of my notes, so I'm going to say it anyway. What is the goodness of God that we should even desire it? Well, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And I'm going to read this whole thing, 1 through 14, just in case. I know anybody's been to church for any length of time has heard this or heard some of the verses out of it. If you dare, say amen. If not, we're right here on the screen. Verse 1 says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, and to observe carefully all of his commandments." What are his commandments? Well, let's start with the first 10, because everything leads back to them. The first 10, "You shall not have no other God before me. You shall not make idols. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother." This is number 5 of the top 10. Honor your father and your mother. "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet. If you observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Because you obey, once again, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be the basket and kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed you shall be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on your storehouses. That's your bank accounts. The Lord will command the blessing on your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand to. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods, in the fruit of your body, and an increase of your livestock, and the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give you the rain in your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. That's a command. You shall lend, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. God said that he will bless everything. Everything that is yours, everything that's connected to you, everything that you put your hands to. He says he would command the blessings on your storehouses. He said he would command it. Increase. And while all this is happening, you're just looking and seeing God's goodness. God's goodness, once again, I've walked with him, and I've seen this. I've seen it. This is why he said to wait on him. Wait. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Don't stop praying. Don't stop giving. Just believe. Believe that God will do just what he said that he would do. Because he will do it, the waiting process. Abraham, I'm going to speak real quick, and I'm rounding home. I'm going to speak real quick on Abraham. Because you'll find in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, that God initiated a conversation with Abram. I know at this point in time in the scripture that he's called Abram. That's his name, but I'm just going to call him Abraham the whole time, so I don't mess up the timeline as to when he was Abram and when he was called Abraham. But God called him in verse 12. He says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In you. Now, I know if you skip down to verse 7, the Lord also said, to your descendants, I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Now, Abraham was 75 years old. 75. 75, I know Abraham was excited. He was excited that he heard the voice of God. And guess what he did? He ran with it. He ran with it. And like, and Abraham being 75, Sarah was 10 years younger than him, so Sarah was 65. 65 and 75. And he heard the voice, and God said, that, like, listen, I'm about to bless you exceedingly. And your descendants, they're going to bless, and they're going to bless this whole earth. But Abraham was thinking, I'm 75. She's 65. So you know what he told them? Pack up. Let's roll. Hurry up. Hurry up. We don't got much time. 75, we got to go, because you see 75 and 20 would, what, 95? He was like, man, I'll be 95 before he's 20. So he was like, hurry up, let's roll. Why? He heard the voice of God. And just like the seven, he heard the voice, and I can imagine with great joy, he began packing. Because simple numbers like, hey, this is about to happen. It's about to go down. The God of heaven and earth spoke. It's about to go down. And I don't know how long they have been married, but I can imagine they were married 75, 65. I can imagine they've been married a minute. And they may have tried having kids, and guess what? Wasn't nothing happening. And Abraham was probably saying, Sarah, you're barren. But the Lord said, so we're going to run with this thing with great joy that we might see the goodness of our God. And they ran with it. They ran with it. And guess what? Their hope, they're just like, yes, we're going to have kids. Kids, we've been wanting kids. We're about to have a kid. And the year went by and nothing. 3 years. Nothing, but God keeps saying that he's going to do this. God keeps saying that he's going to do it. So the Bible tells us that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So Abraham believed, but around year five, man, God, what's up? I know I heard you. Around year 9 and year 10, guess what? I'm going to put this on. Women, please don't try to kill me after the service. But I am going to put part of this on Sarah. I say part. Because 10 years had passed. Lord, I waited. Lord, I waited. I waited. And it, nothing. We tried. And nothing. So Sarah came to her husband and said, hey, it ain't happening. And the reason I put it apart is because Abraham believed God. That's what the Bible tells us. So Abraham listened to his wife and was like, well, first off, I'm not going to even spend too much time here. But evidently, Abraham agreed. Abraham, Sarah's had the idea to, hey, go into my maid servant and have a kid. Listen, Abraham left at 75. The Bible records that Ishmael was born when he was 86 years old, which means I have to imagine they waited 10 years on the Lord. Lord, I waited. I waited. I waited more than anybody else would have waited. I waited 10 years for the promise. So what did Abraham do? Abraham put his hands on it. That was number three of the seven. Abraham put his hands on it. And once again, listen, I say this because I've done these seven before. I've done them. Because God seems to have forgotten. I believe him, so maybe God meant to go this way for this to happen. Maybe. God, do you anything? And I can imagine God didn't say anything. Because he knows, you know that ain't what I told you. So he went in and had Ishmael. Messed things up. Listen, a lot of stuff is happening now over there in Israel and Palestinians. And listen, they all brothers. They're all brothers. Because of Ishmael and Isaac. They went in, messed it up. And then Abraham tried to bargain with God. He tried to bargain with God in Genesis chapter 17, verse 18. Let's go with verse 19. No, we'll do 18, Myron. Evelyn, thank you. And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." This is Abraham bargaining with God. Why? Because Isaac still isn't born yet. But see, we're beginning to move to the point where God begins to establish his preeminence. So he begins to establish that I am the sovereign one. See, at this time, Abraham is like 99 years old. 99 years old. See, Abraham, as well as Sarah, begin to account the promise of God as though it has slipped away because of time. Time has passed, and my womb and her womb is dead. This is why Abraham said, "Oh, that Ishmael," because Abraham had gotten to a point where he had lost heart. God, I'm 99. She's 89. We're both past that time of childbearing. God, it's not possible. I want to believe you, but the circumstance is saying one thing. The circumstance is saying that I'm 99 years old and she's 89. The circumstance is saying that, God, I don't so much have the energy anymore. The circumstance is saying you don't even want that anymore. That's what the circumstance, because if you begin to look at the circumstance too long, the circumstance begins to lie to you. Like, you don't want that. You might as well walk away from it. You might as well do something else. Do something else that pleases you. Because, see, that's what the enemy says. He says things so that it might please your flesh. Go find something else to do. Just wild out if you have to, because God said it, and apparently he's unable to perform it. What have you accounted as dead? There are many of you here today whom God has spoken a word. And listen, there are many families here. There are many families here. And it's recorded in the Bible. It says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And you stood on that and you prayed that, but yet your prayer has begun to minimize because you begin to see your children not doing according to the ways of God. So what happens when we look at the circumstance begins to speak louder than your faith and your prayer in God and what God has said. He said that I'll save your whole household, but because of the circumstance, we're beginning to lose hope. Huh. And one thing I found here that is absolutely true, that when we lose hope, we begin to hurt. And when we hurt, you know what happened? Hurt people hurt people. Instead of holding tight and firm to what God has said and what God has promised, we begin to allow the circumstance, another voice, speak louder than the promise. And God is yet able. God is able. God is, Dennis, if you and the minstrels want to come forward, God is able. He's good. God doesn't even like to see you cry. He collects the tears. God is able. What did God tell you? And what is it that you begin to lose hope? You begin to lose hope because of a circumstance. See, even once we get to this point of the service with the super seed, and the super seed is a sacrificial giving. And what I desire, and I'm going to place a mandate today, is that you connect whatever it is that God has told you, whatever word that you found in the Bible, I don't care what it is, if you're holding tight to it and it seems as though it's beginning to slip away, then I want you to connect this sacrificial seed to it. And say, Lord, I believe. The one servant, the father, he said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Why? He said that because there was yet a voice that was speaking about the circumstance. The circumstance had persisted. The circumstance had always been. But what is God's voice? What has his voice spoken to you? What did he say? Because I'm a huge one, just like my natural father. If my natural father says something, listen, I believe it. I believe he said, I'm going to do this. And guess what? I'm waiting. I might ask. Okay, it's been 2 years. My wife been asking. She's been saying it's been 14 years. I wouldn't even go over what that project is about. But my father said it. If he said it, I believe it. Today's message title, even as I pray everyone is getting a seed in your hands, I don't care what it is. During worship, I was up here worshiping, and I seen a dime sitting right here. I don't know if anybody put that here. But if anybody put it here, don't raise your hand. If anybody put this dime here, I'm praying that God would expedite whatever it is that you've been praying for and what you've been asking God for. See, God doesn't care what the amount is. God wants you to sacrifice. He wants you to trust him in your sacrifice. Amen? Jesus. See, like even this altar call. Because Abraham was 86 when Ishmael was born, and Abraham had to wait another 25 years before his son Isaac was born. No, he had to wait a total of 25 years. In between that 25 years, Ishmael was born. Ishmael was born. So when we're looking out at what God has spoken, listen, don't let time be the great dictator to your faith. I don't care how many years have passed. I don't care how long she's been that way. I don't care how long he's been that way. Don't let time be the one that dictates, because David said that he would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's here and now. Amen. And as you're getting your seed ready, I want you to just stand with me. And I'm going to go ahead and put mine down. Because I want to tell you, family, that I've been through a whirlwind of things. I've been through a whirlwind. Being here. It was the hardest after the call. It was the hardest after he called me. The roughest seasons of my life was after he said, Michael, I want you to do this. And I said, yes, Lord. That's when it was the hardest. Truth be told, if you listen to what I said earlier, when I was in a desert, a dry place, I said, Lord, if I have to die in this state, listen. I kind of wish for it. Because I thought my wife and my kids would be better. They'd be able to function with the insurance money. I said, God, if I have to die here, your will be done. And I wanted it. But I also said, God, your will be done. Your will be done. And as I've walked with him, listen, I've seen his goodness spread out before me. I've seen it. If I had more time, I would tell you how hard the road was. I would tell you that I'd been to a place that I couldn't see past tomorrow, but God knew and God said to hold on. So I said, God, I'm going to hold on. I'm going to believe you and I'm going to trust you. So as you bring your seed forth and just place it on the altar, I'm also going to call forth the altar. Because don't give up. Don't let time and don't let circumstance dictate your prayer, your belief. If God said it, he will do it. Don't let time begin to try to minimize how great your God is. So if you find yourself, and listen, I don't want you to be backwards and I don't want you to be afraid, but if you find yourself in a place where it's dark and you can't see and it's hard to hear the voice of God and it seems as though you begin to lose grip on your hope and faith and God will do just what he said that he would do, then I want you to come to the altar and I want to pray with you. Because I want to believe with you. Our Father in heaven said, if two should agree in the earth concerning anything, he said, concerning anything, that it shall be done by your Father who is in heaven. So if you find yourself there, then I want you to come forth. Don't be afraid. Chapter 5, this is where a ruler of the synagogue came to Jesus concerning his daughter, for she was at home and sick. And while on the way, Jesus was going his way to this ruler of the synagogue's home, and this is where you'll find recorded in the Bible with the woman with the issue of blood. The woman who said that if I can touch the hem of his garment, I know that I can be made whole. And that miraculous thing happened in that moment. But then right after that, the servants of the ruler came. And their servant spoke of the circumstance. For they said in Mark chapter 5 and verse 36, they says, why? The ruler, Jairus is his name, after they came to him and said, your daughter is dead. They're speaking of the circumstance, and their circumstance seemed grim, and indeed was grim. And they said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? But soon as is recorded right here in Mark 5 and 36, as soon as that word was spoken concerning the circumstance, Jesus spoke immediately after. For it says that as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. The circumstance can't speak loud, but Jesus said that I am the resurrection and the life. So it doesn't matter, even if it seems like it's dead. God said that I am the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The voice for this service is to believe. Believe God's word. Believe his voice. Believe his promises beyond your circumstance. Beyond the circumstance. It is what it is. But it isn't what it shall be. Believe. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, I stand before you and before your people. And Father, even as they have come and even as they have sown sacrificially, Father, I lift up these seeds before you, Father, and even as they've heard your voice, Father, I pray for everything to which they've attached the seed to. And Father, I pray even now that you will begin to send down your good treasure, the rain, Father, that I begin to shower down, Father, to shower down on the seeds that your people have sown in faith, believing that you see and that you hear and that you will do, Father. They heard your word, Father. Father, that they will not lose heart because they believe that they will see the goodness of our God in the land of the living. Father, I pray that you would expedite, Father, even the very prayers of your people. Father, that they would see that you are the faithful one, the Holy One of Israel, the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Another moment, we want to do communion today. And we can go ahead and begin to bring it forward and to pass it. Father, we believe. We believe that you are El Shaddai, that you are the Almighty God. We believe that there is nothing too hard for you. We believe that you've spoken from the beginning, even to a time such as this. Do according to your good pleasure. Sanctify your people. Increase your promise and the seeds, that they might see the very thing that they've been praying about coming to fruition. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I've seen God work a work in my life. I've seen him turn it completely around for me. I now walk in his word. I walk in the blessings of his word. I've seen him do everything that's written in Deuteronomy 28. I've seen him command the blessing for my storehouses. I see his blessings over my wife and my children and the lives of my family. I've seen this. From where I was to where God has brought me so far, I can see and I can speak to the goodness of our God and the faithfulness of our God. Amen. So even now, as we prepare to take of the Lord's Supper, I just want everyone to take a moment just to speak with their Father in heaven. The Bible says that if we would examine ourselves, that in everything could be removed that is in him or from him. For we don't want to eat and take and partake of the blood and the bread in any unworthy manner and to be found guilty of it. So Father, in this moment, in this hour, Father, even as I stand before your people, Father, I lift up everyone under the sound of my voice. And Father, we surrender it all to you. Everything we surrender to you. For you told us to cast all of our cares upon you. For you care for us. And so we do this, Father. And we believe, Father, that no matter where we might be in life, Father, because of our hope and our belief in you and your voice and in your word, that it has to turn around because you said all things work together for the good to them that love you, to them who are the called according to your purpose. Father, searching each and every heart, and Father, even as we give it to you, Father, we ask that you by your Spirit cleanse us and make us whole from the crown of our heads to the soles of our very feet. Father, that we might walk uprightly before you and before man. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, thank you, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Take and eat the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's drink of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody give him thanks. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Father, may your people see your goodness. May they rejoice over it. Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above every name in all the earth. I bless your coming and I bless your goings. May all the blessings that are found written in this word in Deuteronomy chapter 28, may it come even as this word declares and overtake you because you are obedient to his voice. I bless your homes, your finances, your jobs. I bless your seed. I bless everything that is God intended for your very purpose. May you be overflowing with blessings, love, and the goodness of God that you do what? Give it away before you go. Amen.